Praise the Lord. Let us open our Bible to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 1 to 11. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who through the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ have received a faith as precious as ours, grace and peace be yours in abundance through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. Through these He has given us His very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But if anyone does not have them, he is nearsighted and blind, and has forgotten that he has been cleansed from his past sins. Therefore, my brothers, be all the more eager to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never fall, and you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, we thank you and we praise you for your goodness, your faithfulness. Thank you for your word to us, O God. And we pray, O God, that your word will give us clarity in our life and it will help us to continue to go on and serve you and live our life unto you, Lord, in the way that you want us to be, Lord. I pray that you take the message and your word with the power of the Holy Spirit to reach those who want to hear your voice and your word, O God. Let be, Lord, a way of life, this message, a way of correction. Lord, let this message be a transformation for us, O God. You help me to deliver your word and not my lips and the word of my mouth with the Holy Spirit, O God. Let your message bring help, healing, hope, and wholeness according to thy will, O God. We thank you and we praise you. This all we ask and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of the message is Making Your Calling and Election Sure. Apostle Peter, he wrote this letter to the church. And 2 Peter, it deals with two main issues. The first issue is the issue of the false teachers. At that time, when the letter was written, in the first century, there were many false teachers, false prophets, those who teach compromises, those who teach incorrect doctrine for their own evil motive and their own evil benefit. They pervert the truth. And Peter, he wrote this letter to the church to warn them from the false teacher and to help them to walk in the way of the Lord. Second Peter also contained the subject of the second coming of Christ. So these are very two important subjects. And this we are here passing through very hard time. The church is passing very, very hard time. There are so much compromises, not only in the world, but in the religious atmosphere around us. There are many false teachers and more false prophets, and those who preach cheap grace, those who preach God's blessing without obedience, without teaching obedience to the people. And here, as we are waiting for the Lord Jesus Christ, we should keep our head clear with the sound teaching, with the sound doctrine. And this letter, it helps us to go on and serve the Lord and live our life according to His will and according to His plan. Making our calling and election sure. is the mandate to be an effective and productive Christian in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We need a provision in our life to live a godly life. Is there provision? Yes. God had to provide us. The Lord has sent His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ died on the cross for our sin. He gave up His life for us, to save us. His blood on the cross is for the forgiveness of our sin as we repent and turn from the evil way of life toward God. What are the provisions that God had to provide for us? Second Peter, there are provisions. Apostle Peter spoke about them. In verse 1, he wrote and he say, to those who through the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ have received a faith as precious as ours. God give us faith. The faith that Simon Peter received, we receive the same faith. Because he says, those who have been received a faith as precious as ours. Some people they say, Simon Peter, he was living with the Lord and he met the Lord in the flesh. Yes, that is true. But we live now with the Lord Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is doing to us and to the church exactly what the Lord Jesus Christ have done to the apostles. The faith that the apostles have received is the same faith that we are receiving today. So that is a provision for us. God had given us faith in Him through Jesus Christ our Lord. That faith should help us and will help us and sure will help us to be an obedient children of God. What else God had to provide for us? God has done His part in the means of sending His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who died for our sin. He gave us the faith. And in verse 2, another provision, grace and peace be yours in abundance. The grace of God had been given to us in abundance. The grace of God that had appeared to all men, that teaches us to say no to sin and no to worldly passion, and who teaches us to live a godly and self-controlled life while we are waiting for the second coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So we have the grace of God, we have the faith in God, and we have peace in abundance. Peace. Jesus give us peace. My peace I give you, my peace I leave with you. I do not give you as the world gives. John 14:27. God give us peace through Jesus Christ. Peace that give us clear mind. When we have the peace of the Lord, we don't have doubt, we don't have anxiety, we don't have double-mindedness, whether we are living in obedience and disobedience will be rewarded or not. Yes, will be rewarded. The peace of the Lord give us satisfaction to live a godly life, not to be enticed and not to be envious with the people who do evil around us. They are disobedience, they are worldliness, they are evildoers around us. But the peace of God gives us assurance that they will go into punishment while we are continuing in the grace of the Lord and live our life in whole godliness unto Him, we will be rewarded. What else God had to provide for us? So that He will enable us to make our calling and election sure. In verse 3, say, His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness. Wow, praise the Lord for that. Now I know and I believe that God has given me everything I need for life and godliness. God had given you everything you need for life and godliness. The Word of God today assures us that if we want to live for God and for godliness, God had to provide for us all our needs. Our need for today, if we want to live for God, is there. Not that God will provide. God had already sent the provision. Before the knees will be raised up, God knows, and He had sent the provision ahead of time. So on the day, on the time, on the hour, on the minute that the need will be raised up, as we walk with Christ, as we live our life in godliness, that need will be satisfied and will be met by the provision of the Lord. Tomorrow, as we live in godliness, our needs for tomorrow will be satisfied. After 1 month, after 1 year, after 10 years, until the second coming of the Lord, our need will be satisfied as we continue to live our life for Him and living in godliness. What else God had provided for us? In verse 4, say He has given us His very great and precious promises. God had given us His great and precious promises, the promises of God. All the promises of God we can read in the Bible. And whatever the number of the promises of God, all are yes in Christ Jesus our Lord. But we must understand one thing, that for each and every promise of God, there is a condition. God had put His blessing in His promises. And that's why we read the Bible, we live according to the Word of God, because in the Word of God are the promises of God and are the blessing of God. But for each promise, there is a condition. We need to fulfill the condition, then we will meet the blessing of the Lord. God will fulfill His promise if we find in us the obedient that He wants to see, that He wants us to live, and that He wants us, what He wants us to be. What are the value of these promises? The value of these promises of God, it gives us two important things. It helps us to be part and to be participators in the divine nature, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature. We will be part of God's presence, part of God's power on earth. As we obey the Lord, we become His instrument of righteousness. Our bodies as a living sacrifice for Him will be an instrument of righteousness. God is going to reach the world through us. As we obey the Word of God, as we obey the commands of the Lord, God's authority and anointing will be upon us. Our prayer will be answered. Miracles and wonders will accompany us wherever we move. People that will see clearly God's presence in our life. And as they see that we are living in godliness, there will be an influence on their life. We will be the salt of the earth and the light of the world. People, when they will see us, they will see God in us and Christ in us. We will have influence and effect on them. The evil doers, they will be afraid from us. They will hide. They will try to hide themselves, because they can see that their evil deeds are exposed when they see the righteousness of God in our life. We will be part of the divine power. As we are children of God, as we are obedient children, we are part of His divine power. What is the promises of God that God had provided for us help us? The promise of God help us to escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. I don't need to rely on the worldly things. I don't need to rely on the way that the other people are relying. We don't need to compromise. We don't need to cheat. We don't need to tell lies. We don't need to steal. We don't need to pervert justice so that we will be well provided. No. As we obey the Lord as we say no to sin, as we separate ourselves from the world and to God, as we avoid all evil things and all evil practices, we are relying on God's provision in our life. We don't need to do wrong things. We don't need to bribe. We don't need to steal so that we can be provided. God will provide for us as we obey Him. Amen. So we have now the blood of Jesus. We have the faith that God gave us. He had given us the grace. He had given us peace. That assures us that we are in the right way. He had given us the Lord's precious promises that help us to escape the corruption in the world and to be part of His divine power. Therefore, for this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness. Now hear the way, step by step, the Word of God is teaching us now how to apply what we have in our life to make our calling and election sure. In order for us to make our calling and election sure, we need to be effective and productive Christian. If merely we have faith without deed, that is not the faith that the Bible and the Word of God tell. Faith is never alone, always accompanied by obedience. There must be a manifestation of a true faith in our life. It is the quality of our life that shows we have the sound faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Faith. Now in the world, there is around 1 million Christians, but still the church is weak because there's only faith, but there's no obedience. Faith without obedience is disobedience. Faith without deed is dead. So if there is quantity, but there is no quality, there is no effect. And that is a warning for us. That's a warning. If we are saying we are Christian, but there is no deed, that show we are Christian, there we are in the wrong track, and we need to repent, and we need to be aware that faith alone is not enough. Faith must be accompanied by deeds, so that we need to add to our faith goodness. Goodness is to do the work of God, the good work of God. Now everyone is busy in the world. Everyone is busy in his life. Every believer, he is busy and he is doing his certain thing. But the question, are what you doing is the things that God had asked you to do? In Ephesians chapter 2 verse 10, say, for we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do the good work that He had prepared already in advance for us to do. You might be a busy person, but you are not doing the work that God had already prepared in advance for you to do. You may be doing your own. You may be doing and serving your ambition. You may be doing and serving your previous plan, your previous thought before you come to God. Now God is telling to us, there's a good work God had prepared for you to do. You need to do this work. Add to your faith goodness. There must be a good work come out from your life. And to goodness, knowledge. We need to have knowledge in the Word of God. We need to know what the Word of God says. We need to keep time and dedicate time to study the Word of God, to study the Bible. People spend many years to study so that they can get job. But when it comes to the Word of God, they say, we don't have time. If we don't have the time to give time to the Word of God, the Word of God say, my people perish because lack of knowledge. If we don't know what the Word of God say, how we know what God want from us? We need to keep time to study the Word of God. We need to keep time to read the Bible daily. Are you reading your Bible daily? Are you meditating on the Word of God? Are you obeying the Word of God? Are you keeping time to search the Scriptures? Are you studying systematically the Word of God? Add to your goodness, knowledge. And to knowledge, self-control. Christian must have self-control. We need to know which time we stop. We need to stop. Christian, they must know their limit. Christian, they must know which time that they cannot cross the border. Christian, they must know their limit and the area of darkness. Christian, they must avoid being in dark area, and they must also avoid to be in a gray area. Gray area where Satan is working and doubts and compromises. We need to have self-control. We need to have self-control so that we will not do problems and we will not fall into sin. We need to have self-control on our lips and mouth what to speak. We should not allow unwholesome talk come out from our mouth. We should not allow reckless words come out from our mouth. We should have self-control in our thought, what we thought. It's all involving self-control. We should have self-control in what we see and what we hear. We should have self-control in our feeling and emotion. We should not allow anger and emotion to drag us away and pull us to, to go into the wrong direction. We should have self-control on our feet. We should not go in areas and places that God does not want us to go. We should have self-control on our hand, that we should not do the things that God does not want us to do. Self-control is like a car with a brake. If a car without a brake, there will be many accidents and there will be many danger to the driver and the people who are sitting inside the car. A Christian without self-control is liable to many incidents and accident, and his life is not productive, is not effective. And to self-control, perseverance. Perseverance is keeping the same high level of achievement. Sometimes Christians, they are good for 1 week, good for 1 month, good for few months. But after that, there will be a decline. They are not consistent. We should be a consistent Christian in our achievement. We should achieve good things and we should maintain our achievement. We should maintain life of godliness. We should maintain life of holiness. We should maintain the good work that we are doing. We should not fluctuate. This year I'm good. Next year I'm not good. The next other year I want to rest. Some Christians in this way, they are inconsistent. They start something, but they don't finish it. They are planning something, but they don't continue persevering in achieving it. Perseverance is when you continue to do the work of God and what God has had asked you to do, even when you are alone. Christ was alone on the cross. Even he said, "Father, Father, why you have forsaken me?" He was alone on the cross, but he continued to achieve the mission that God the Father had asked him to do. Perseverance. Christian must have perseverance. Not every time the conditions are favorable. Not every time there is a reward. Not every time life is easy. Not every time ministry is easy. In the time of adverse condition, as we have perseverance and patience, we can overcome, and sure we will overcome. We should have self-control to fix on the goal. We should have self-control to continue to persevere until we achieve the task that God had entrusted to us, and to persevere as godliness. Godliness is, I know what the Bible speaks about each and every issue, each and every doctrine, and I live the doctrine in my life. The doctrine that I know is living and active in my life. I know my stand, and I stand where the Word of God stands. I stand with the Lord, and that is godliness. Godliness is living the doctrines that the Bible speak and tell. And to godliness, brotherly kindness. We are part of a church. We are surrounded by believers, brothers and sisters. We are living among families, among brothers in the flesh, mothers, fathers, children, and brotherly kindness should be there. The word kindness, it involves acts, things we need to do. Christian is accountable to God. Christian is accountable to his family. If a child for his parents, if parents for their children, if husband to his wife and his family, and wife for her husband and her family, there's accountability. Christian is accountable to his family. Christian is accountable to the church. There must be brotherly kindness and healthy relationship between one another. I know what is my right, and I know what is my responsibility. I know what is due for me, and I know what is the things that are required from me according to the word of God. That is kindness. When I obey and I do my requirements, I am showing kindness. We should show kindness to one another. We need to pray for one another. We should carry each other burdens. Those who are in need, those who are injured, we who are strong, we should carry them and help them. We should bear with the weakness of those who are having hard time in life. We should give them hand in prayer, in counseling, in encouragement, in lifting them up with the word of God and encouraging messages, with the right counsel and the right advice, with material support as much as we can, and what really God wants us in the way that we need to help them, we need to back them up. That is the brotherly kindness. Brotherly kindness is what brings the church together as a family of God. And to brotherly kindness, love. If we bring all these things together, faith plus goodness, knowledge, self-control, perseverance, godliness, brotherly kindness, then we find love is the crown of them all. When I read the Bible, when I know the Word of God, I am loving. I am doing my part. When I have self-control and I don't sin, I am showing love. When I am persevering, I am showing love. When I am doing my part and my responsibility, when I am achieving what God wants me to achieve, I am loving God. I am loving myself, and I am loving also others. Let us read Romans chapter 13, verse 8 to 10. Speaks about love. Romans chapter 13, verse 8 to 10. The word of God says, let no debt remaining, let no debt remain outstanding except the continuing debt to love one another. For he who loves his fellow man has fulfilled the law. The commandments: do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not covet, and whatever other commandment there may be are summed up in this one rule: love your neighbor as yourself. Love does not harm to its neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. So there is very clear definition here that if we steal, we are not loving. If we cheat, we are not loving. If we do adultery, we are not loving. If we look lustfully to a woman or to a man, we are not loving. If we are coveting other people's things, we are not loving. If we are telling lies, we are not loving. If we are compromising, we are not loving. If we are negligent, we are not loving. If we keep the people doing more than they are required and we are not doing our part, we are not loving. If we take advantage of the weak, if we take advantage from those who work hard, we are not loving. Because love does not harm its neighbor. I need to care for myself and I need to care for the people. I don't need to take advantage from people. We should not take advantage from one another. We should not abuse one another. We should not treat negatively and badly one another, because that is not love. Let me tell you something. There are love of the world, and that is what not what the Bible tells us. There's a love that spoils, that help the sinners to continue to sin and cover them up. That is not the love of God. That is a spoiling love. That is the love that speak about the lies of devil, to allow sin and to keep sin and to conduce sin, is not the love of God that he wants us to live and to practice. Love is not an emotional love. Sometimes we are drawn by our emotion because of certain things. We love and we support certain things, but that is not the word of God. Sometimes we go with our emotion, not based on the truth, but based on other link and other yoke. I am helping him because he had helped me, but he's at wrong. I am supporting him because he is my brother, but he is at wrong. I am doing like this because he had helped me before. That is wrong if he is in sin. That is not the love that God wants us to love. This is the spoiling love. We are not loving if we compromise. Now let's go back to those 8 features that 2 Peter spoke. Faith, goodness, knowledge, self-control, perseverance, godliness, brotherly kindness, and love. How many of those we have in our life and personalities? Does our character and attitude contain all these things? Verse 8 says, "For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ." Write down these 8 qualities and check yourself. How many of them you have? If you have this quality, or you have this quality, how much quantity you have of this quality? You have self-control. How much you have self-control? Little or much? Or you need to improve it more? If you have perseverance, are you having little or much? Or you need to improve it more? You write it down. Put it in the front of your bed and check yourself daily. Because if you have these qualities with increasing measure, you will be an effective and a productive Christian. We need to be effective Christian first. Quality control. Quality Christian is important to produce a quantity, to multiply, to reproduce. If we have a good quality and character, our disciple, they will be the same good quality and character. Quality is important, quantity is important, but we cannot rely on the quantity without quality. God wants us to be a quality wise Christian with all these above criteria. These are a high quality that make us the salt of the earth and the light of the world. Then we can multiply. Multiplication and quantity also very important. Every Christian, ultimate God calling for him that he live his life for God, and he reproduce and he multiply by going and making disciples. We have to be a good quality to influence others and bring them to Christ. And we can say, as Paul said, follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. But if anyone does not have them, he is nearsighted and blind and has forgotten that he has been cleansed from his past sins. Christians with all these qualities are unsaved, are of no use. As the Lord say, if the salt loses saltiness, it's worth nothing. It cannot be used for anything, just to be thrown away. And he cut every branch in me that bears no fruit. God does not delight with a Christian without these characters and attitude in their life. Therefore, my brothers, be all the more eager to make your calling and election sure. We need to allow the Holy Spirit. We need to allow God to search us. Search me, Lord, and know my heart and know my thought, and see if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me to the way over everlasting. We need to allow God to interfere in us, to change our character, to repent fully from sin and wrongdoing, wrong stand, wrong way of life, so that we will not fall. God have done his part. God has given us all the things that we have mentioned at the beginning. The blood of Jesus, faith in Christ, the grace of God, the peace of God, his promises. We need to do our part so that our calling and election will be sure. God had called us. Our name are written in the book of life, but if we fail God and we live in sin and despondency, and we live in negative way of life, and we live in negligence, and we live indifferent to the call of God, if we live in apathy and no response, then God will blot our name from the book of life. For if you do these things, you will never fall. What things? Faith, add to him. To the faith, goodness. To goodness, knowledge. To knowledge, self-control. To self-control, perseverance. And to perseverance, godliness. And to godliness, brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, love. What more we receive? What more if we obey God? First, we become effective. We influence the world. We are part of the divine nature. And then we become productive. We make disciples who know the truth and follow God as we follow. Second, our calling and our election, sure, we are working out our salvation with a tremble and fear, for it is God who works in us through good and perfect will. And then verse 11, and you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The Lord will come. We don't know which time, but Sure he will come. Maybe tonight. Maybe this very day. He will come. And the Lord, when he will come, there's two things the word of God tells us. He will either say, well done, my good and faithful servant. And this is what I want to hear, what every one of us want to hear. And he also may say, I don't know you, away from me, evil doers. If we live our life in complacency, indifferent, and non-responding to the call of God, then the Lord may say, I don't know you. But Peter wrote the message to the church. And at the conclusion he said, therefore, dear friends, since you already know this, be on your guard, so that you may not be carried away by the error of the lawless men and fall from your secure position. As you know this truth, you will not need to follow the compromises that going on. You don't need to follow the ways they say that you just believe, but not important to obey. No, these are the lawless way. Those are the way of the error men. Those the way of the wicked people who teach wrong. But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forevermore. Let's come to the Lord in a prayer. Let's commit our life unto him. As we have heard the message, let us pray. Let us take a step forward, an active step, knowing that God has provided everything we need for life and godliness. We need to take our decision and come back to the Lord and fully surrender our will unto him, yielding ourselves, our bodies, the part of our bodies as a living sacrifice for him. Let's come and let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word that had brought light unto us, O God. And we thank you for the message that we received from you that had lightened the area that's dark in our life. Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus. I pray that this message will perfect us. It will help us to show where is the areas that we need to surrender our life unto you, Lord. Lord, we pray in the name of Jesus. I pray in any area that we need improvement. Help us, O God. I pray for help from you, O God, so that I can improve myself in the way that you want me to be, O God. Lord, give us self-control. Give me self-control. Give me perseverance. Give me patience, O God. Give me more love. Give me more brotherly kindness, O God. Lord, help me to love and live as you live and you have love, O God. Help us, O God, to dedicate our life unto you more. Help us to read your word. Help us to study your word, O God. Help us to be living according to your will and doing the work that you had already prepared in advance for us. We thank and we praise you. Commit yourself now to the Lord. Pray and commit your life. Surrender everything unto him. And the area that you need to be perfected, ask the Lord to help you. Kneel down wherever you are and ask God forgiveness of your sin. Repent and turn away and come back to the Lord. Tell him, Lord, receive me. I am coming back to you. I want to make my calling and election sure. I want to be an effective Christian, Lord. I want to be a productive Christian, Lord. Lord, from the depth of my heart, I want to hear from you when you come. Well done, my good and faithful servant. Truly, Lord, I am longing to hear your voice. Well done, my good and faithful servant. This is my prayer in Christ's name. Amen and amen.